Message title tonight is, to be a believer, we must think like a believer. To be a believer, we must think like a believer. Everything in life, the whole trajectory of your life and my life depends on how we think. The trajectory or the whole movement of this country is dependent on how the people think. Why do you think there's been such an effort to change the thinking of our young people in the classroom? John Dewey, you know, Dr. Spock, and different ones that have come along. There's been a tremendous effort to try and change the thinking. And to be honest with you, they have been quite successful. But just keep in mind and remember that that doesn't change a thing. In reality, it changes the perception of reality, but it doesn't change the reality itself. Take, for example, the tearing down of the monuments and the statues in this country. That doesn't change history. It changes the perception of history, but it doesn't change history. They can take God out of the school, God out of public life. That doesn't change God any. Just changes the perception of God. In fact, what's happened is they've lied to our young people. Nobody likes to be lied to. I don't. And so they've tried to change the perception of reality. Reality hasn't changed. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God doesn't change. God cannot change. So to be a believer, and especially in the turbulent times that we live in, we have to think like a believer. We have to process thought like a believer. You know what? I hate to be kind of a pessimist, but we're not going to make it if we don't think this thing through. If we just go along with the flow is going to take us away from God. We have to put conscious effort into thinking like a Christian in this crooked and perverse world that we live in. Proverbs chapter 23, a well-worn scripture. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 1 through 7. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 1 through 7. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is set before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he unto thee, but his heart is not with thee. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is actually in the negative, speaking of an evil man, but the same thing is true of an evil man, which is true of a righteous man. They both get to where they're at by the way they think. The righteous makes a choice to serve God and to abstain from evil because he's thought this thing through. He's determined in his heart, I'm not going that way, I'm not doing that. The wicked, on the other hand, thinks, well, I think I can have a little fun here and I can take advantage of an individual. The wicked man lures with an invitation. Now, to sit down at a meal was actually an honorable thing, and it was a considered friendship, a means of fellowship by the Jews. And so to invite one in was to invite him in as a friend. But the Bible says here that a man that poises as a friend for example, say someone can pose as a friend and sit down, oh, brother, we love you and befriend you, and, you know, I'm really in need. So you give him, borrow him some money, and when he's got his money, he takes his happy flight and he's gone. He uses people. That people who use people put thought behind it. They don't just arrive at that. So what's true of the wicked man is true of the righteous man. Righteous man says, I'm not doing that. I don't use people. People are not to be used. People are to be loved. Amen? So this is used in the negative sense. The Bible says his heart is not with thee. In other words, he's not a loyal friend. And that's how the wicked act. The believer, on the other hand, goes the other direction. And thank God there is another direction. You know, if all we had was one direction, life would be pretty dismal. But I thank God there's more than one direction in life. We can choose that right direction. We have to put thought into choosing that direction. We have to put effort into choosing that direction, because it is the right direction. Like I said, a lot of things are trying to be altered, and people are trying to negate God and bring God out of the equation. The truth of the matter is, there's still a God, there's still a heaven, there's still a hell. Amen. And by our actions, we choose one or the other. The way we think determines the whole direction in life. You know, if we're if we look at the world around about us, we can get pretty discouraged in a hurry. But that's not the end of the story. This old world is just a temporary, fleeting thing. Whether it serves God or whether it defies God doesn't change the reality that we're all passing through it. We have to pass through this world with victory to win the prize. Amen? You know the old adage that we hear, you are what you eat, and that is true in the physical sense. You know, if we load up on Big Macs and fries every day, there's going to be a consequence to that. There will be results to that. Maybe a large building expansion program. There's a consequence to, you know, eating unhealthy food in the physical sense. Also spiritually, you are what you think. We get to where we're going by thinking. Nobody ever just kind of woke up one morning and then now they're all of a sudden a brain surgeon. There had to be some effort, there had to be some thought, there had to be some input into acquiring that knowledge and that skill. A lot of effort, in fact, on the part of many of those gifted and talented people that, you know, do such operations. It's actually a very intricate procedure. To be spiritually, you are, to be spiritual, you are what you think. You don't get there by chance, you don't get there by hoping so. There are a lot of things that allure us in life, and actually verse 4 and 5 speak of a few of those things. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Now, we're just on the backside of quite a episode of inflation. We all feel it. Especially those that are on a fixed income, they really feel it because there's not a whole lot you can do about it. You can't go to work, you can't, you know, you're of such an age, your body doesn't allow you to work. Being in the construction field, it's just phenomenal. What, 5 years ago, a house that would cost about $225,000, they now about $400,000. Right. That's what it cost to build about the same house just a few years down the road. That makes it virtually impossible for some people to buy a home. And it's gone across the board, fuel, food. I mean, it's affected us all. Riches has made itself wings. The Bible is true once again. It just flew away. You know, what looked like to, you know, a comfortable retirement now is a questionable retirement because of inflation. It's just a reality that we face. See, the world measures success by wealth. Wealth produces power, produces influence, and that's why the world seeks after it, for the fringe benefits of it. The Bible instructs us to cease from that type of wisdom, that type of thinking. Yeah, we all need money to operate. That's, you know, we're not arguing that point. But let's not set our affections on that. Let's set our mind on higher things than what this world has. See, the carnal mind is at enmity with God. It's in conflict with God. Its thinking, its practices are in direct conflict with God Himself. Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark. We'll just pick up on that thought just a little bit, and then we'll move on. Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 33. And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests, scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days be risen. But he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about, he looked on his disciples. He rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man." Our temptations deal mostly with the physical man, things that pertain to the physical man. Jesus said, "I'm going to be crucified." And Peter said, "Oh, no, 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 that's not going to happen." And Jesus rebuked him. What did he attribute that temptation to? What did he attribute that response that Peter had to? Well, his own wisdom, and that his own wisdom was fueled by Satan himself. Peter allowed himself to think in a carnal way, and Jesus attributed that to the power of Satan, the influence of Satan. And so we need to be careful about earthly, worldly wisdom, because that's who's behind it. It will lead us astray if we let ourselves think down that path. As a man thinketh, so is he. So Satan appeals, tempts with regards to things pertaining to man, this world, and the flesh. Now, in the business world, we come across a lot of worldly wisdom. And worldly wisdom is what? Worldly thinking. The way men think, the way men think things should be done. And being in business, you hear it, and maybe you haven't, but you know, it's out there, I've heard it. You can't make money and be honest. Really? That's worldly wisdom, isn't it? But the light of the gospel tells us you can't make heaven and be crooked. So now we have to make a choice, don't we? See, once again, it's perception. With the world, the thinking is the end justifies the means. The end being getting more money, and the means being whatever it takes. Straight, crooked, lie, cheat, whatever it takes. When the world looks at it, they say, well, the end, getting more money, justifies the method that you use to get it. The believer knows that the light of the gospel has given him. The believer knows that the means or the method used to obtain riches determines the end, whether you get to heaven or hell. The means you and I use determines our end. So there's a difference between worldly thinking and godly thinking or biblical thinking. The believer knows that the means determines our end. That's why we walk the straight and narrow way. That's why we're careful in how we do and what we do. Romans 2 verse 6 says, speaking of the Lord, who will render to every man according to his deeds. We will be judged what we have done and the motive behind it. We're not going to skirt around it. God's not going to turn a blind eye to it, but we're going to be judged according to the reality of the life that we've lived. We have in our day the concept of a sinning Christian. Billy Sunday said that you might as well talk about a heavenly devil. And maybe that's where that doctrine came from, I don't know. Devil in heaven, but it's an oxymoron, really. There is no such thing as a sinning Christian, and if Christians sin, they can guaranteed they're going to make hell their home, or a professing Christian. So we have to live according to the dictates of God's holy writ and God's word, led by God's Spirit. And if we allow God, Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. What was that mind focused on? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That needs to be the focal point of our mind, of our thinking. Nevertheless, Lord. Yeah, Jesus had a problem in the garden. He didn't want to go die on the cross. He wasn't looking forward to it, but he said he resigned to the fact, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's the mind of Christ, and you and I have to obtain that same mind, that same thinking. Whatever God wants, that's what I'll do.
Amen.
Amen. See, Babylon teaches that a profession makes you a Christian. Well, you say you're a Christian, you come and come to the altar, you sign a card and do these various things, and you're a Christian. And we know that there's a whole lot more to being a believer than just professing to be a Christian. See, the world has a counterpart. And I don't know who led who, but anyways, they got this idea, if you dress like a woman, if you're a man and you dress like a woman, you can be a woman. Well, if you put a mouse in a cookie jar, does that now make him a cookie? It doesn't change the reality of the mouse at all. A man in a woman's dress doesn't change the reality at all. He still is what he is. A sinner that professes to be a Christian doesn't change reality whatsoever. And a believer that someone rails on as a sinner doesn't change reality either. We might as well throw that in there. You get that for free. We must think different to be spiritual. And God help us to think differently than the decaying, putrid world that we live in. We must think different to make heaven our home. We're not called to profess Christianity. We're called to be believers.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ. That's our calling. So we have a whole lot more on our plate than just what comes out of our mouth. I believe Sister Cummings sings that song, we got a whole lot of living. Amen. So God help us. I want to encourage you this evening to continue on to serve God. And if you're not serving God, there is an opportunity that will be given to you to change your course, change your trajectory, change your eternal home, and change the direction you're going. In fact, that's kind of what repentance actually is. If you want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. This was touched on here just recently with the, and of course this is in connection with giving and so on and so forth, but there's a thought here that I'd like to bring out. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. There's this word here, purposeth, in the Greek. This word means to choose for oneself before another thing. So in reality, if you purpose, as it's used in the context here, I choose this over this. That takes some thought. I choose the righteous over the sinful. I choose the holy over the defiled. I choose God over Satan. You purpose in your heart. You choose for yourself. It's kind of like taking a bride. Out of all the ones in the world, you choose that one. That's what Jesus did for us. He chose us, didn't he? Can't we reciprocate that love and choose him? Can't we choose his ways over our ways? His ways over the world's ways? We need to purpose or choose for ourselves him over everything else. To choose is a deliberate action. Takes thought, takes effort. You don't do it under pressure. You don't do it to save face. You do it because you want to do it. That's how it's used in the context of giving here. But in the broader sense, we can use it with the idea of serving God. We can choose to serve God. This is what makes it real. This is what makes it powerful in each and every life. I choose Christ over everything else. Do you want it? Do you want it bad enough? It's yours. Yours for the taking. But you have to want it. So after considering all the choices that are set before us, and oh, the world is full of choices. The billboards have their choices. Look at this. You need this. Oh, look how much fun they're having. You know, look at this, look at that. You know, if we don't watch it, they'll have us bouncing off pillar and post trying to get what they think pleases mankind. You know, after considering all the choices, isn't he worth it? Obviously he is. After considering everything, do you choose God's way? Or you choose your own way? There are only but two ways, actually. God's way or every other way. There aren't many gods. There's only one God and many false gods, pretenders. God help us to think like Christians. A good spiritual exercise. Now, some of you exercise physically. But a good spiritual exercise would be to follow the scriptural advice in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. See, worldly meditation tells you, you got to find your inner self, whoever, whatever that is. Spiritual meditation is very different than worldly meditation. You're not looking to yourself, you're looking to God. You're not looking to this guy for help, you're looking to God for help. Biblical meditation, and that includes biblical thinking, forces us to find God. It's outside of ourselves. It's not inside ourselves, it's outside ourselves. He's not far away, but we look to him. The psalmist said in Psalm 1, verse 2, about the righteous, he said, he doth meditate or think on the law day and night. How do you succeed? How do you become a successful believer in Jesus Christ? You got to think on him day and night. When it rains, when it's sunny, when it's snowing, when it's freezing, when it's thawing, when the times are good, when the times are bad, think on these things. It's a good spiritual exercise to think on him. Well, Brother Voss, you just don't know what I'm going through. Well, look back. What has God done in your life? How many good things has he done in your life? What's he brought you through to this point? Think on these things. Move forward in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. What was that mind? To complete what God had sent him to do and to do it perfectly.
Right.
Wouldn't deviate. Jesus never deviated from his calling in his earthly walk. Not once did he deviate from his calling. Neither should you and I deviate from our calling. What God has called us to do, be Christians, be those believers in the little corner that you live in. So what was in his mind? He chose to serve his heavenly Father.
Very good.
And you and I need to choose to serve our heavenly Father. God help us to think like Christians. With a world that's crowding in on every side, only the survivors will be those with a renewed mind and a mind focused on something greater than what this world has. We're just making our way through. If you do not have a renewed mind tonight, we give you an opportunity to come and let Jesus make your mind new, to change your thinking, to change your course in life, to change the direction you're going, because God is in a really good business of making lives anew. And he made mine anew. He'll make yours anew. Will you let him tonight change your life, change the direction you're going, from hopelessness to hope, from discouragement to encouragement, from light, or from darkness to light? He wants to do a work in you and I tonight.